pink eye was gesturing for him to step through it. "Hurry, hurry," the infant said. Houlihan went to the door and stood on the threshold. Out of the darkness of the room came the voice of Christopher Carrion, deep and joyless.
"Enter, enter. You're just in time to watch the feeding."
Houlihan followed the sound of Carrion's voice. There was a flickering in the darkness, which grew more intense by degrees, and as it brightened, he saw the Lord of Midnight standing perhaps 10 yards from him. He was dressed in gray robes and was wearing gloves that looked as though they were made of fine chain mail.
"Not many people get to see this, Crisscross Man. My nightmares are hungry, so I'm going to feed them."
Houlihan shuddered.
"Watch, man. Don't stare at the floor."
Reluctantly, the Crisscross Man raised his eyes. The nightmares Carrion had spoken of were swimming in a blue fluid which all but filled a high transparent collar around Carrion's head. Two pipes emerged from the base of the Lord of Midnight's skull, and it was through these that the nightmares had emerged, swimming directly out of Carrion's skull. They were barely more than long threads of light, but there was something about their restless motion, the way they roved the collar, sometimes touching Carrion's face, more often pressing against the glass, that spoke of their hunger. Carrion reached up into the collar. One of the nightmares made a quick motion like a striking snake and delivered itself into its creator's hand. Carrion lifted it out of the fluid and studied it with a curious tenderness.
"It doesn't look like much, does it?" Carrion said.
Houlihan didn't comment. He just wanted Carrion to keep the thing away from him.
"But when these things are coiled in my brain, they show me such delicious horrors."
The nightmare writhed around in Carrion's hand, letting out a thin, high-pitched squeal.
"So every now and then I reward them with a nice fat meal of fear. They love fear. And it's hard for me to feel much of it these days. I've seen too many horrors in my time. So I provide them with someone who will feel fear."
So saying, he let the nightmare go. It slithered out of his grip, hitting the stone floor. It knew exactly where it was going. It wove across the ground, flickering with excitement, the light out of its thin form illuminating its victim. A large, bearded man squatted against the wall.
"Mercy, my lord," he sobbed. "I'm just a Toto miner."
"Oh, now be quiet," Carrion said, as though he were speaking to a troublesome child.
"Look, you have a visitor."
He turned and pointed to the ground where the nightmare slithered. Then, without waiting to see what happened next, he turned and approached Houlihan.
"So now," he said, "tell me about the girl."
Thoroughly unnerved by the fact that the nightmare was loose and might at any moment turn on him, Houlihan fumbled for words.
"Oh, yes, yes, the girl. She escaped me in Ninnyhammer, along with a Geshrat named Malingo. Now they're traveling together, and I got close to them again on Soma Plume, but she slipped away among some pilgrim monks."
"So she's escaped you twice?
I expect better."
"She has power in her," Houlihan said by way of self-justification.
"Does she indeed?" Carrion said.
As he spoke, he carefully lifted a second nightmare out of his collar. It spat and hissed. Directing it toward the man in the corner, he let the creature go from his hands, and it wove away to be with its companion.
"She must at all costs be apprehended, Otto," Carrion went on. "Do you understand me? At all costs. I want to meet her. More than that, I want to understand her."